If you would, again this morning, I want us to take the same verse of Scripture that we began with last Sunday, Isaiah chapter number 45 and verse number 3 and 4, and then we'll go from there to our text verse this morning. We began last Sunday a series of messages, and as most of you know, this is very uncommon for me to try to do or to do, but I really believe the Lord has led in this, and when God leads, He will help you get all the things together and keep your mind on exactly what's needed for these weeks that we'll be having this. But we began last Sunday a series of messages entitled The Treasures of Darkness. What a very strange title, someone might say. In Isaiah chapter number 45 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me." Now the Lord says here to the people of Israel that He had given them treasures of darkness. Now if you would turn back with me to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter number 28. 1 Chronicles chapter number 28. I want to begin reading in verse number 9. Here we get our text verses this morning for the message, and I pray that the Lord will help us as we open the Word of God. Everything that we do ought to be to give instruction, edification, building up, rebuke, for the Word of God has given these things to us. Now we notice in 1 Chronicles chapter number 28 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Then David gave Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and the upper chambers thereof, and the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, and all the chambers round about of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of dedicated things. Now if you would, over to verse number 19. "All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by His hand upon me even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon, his son, Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." For the house of the Lord. Now last Sunday we noted the treasures that we have in Him. Treasures in Him. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad this morning that we have abundant treasure in the Lord. I'm glad we have an abundance of the blessings of God, and simply because of what the Lord has done for us. But I want us to thank this morning the treasures in the house of God. The treasures not only in Him, but the treasures in the house of God. This place that God has given unto us. Last week we noted that the treasures in Him, that He has given to us all wisdom and knowledge from the Word of God. I'm glad this morning that I can know that my redemption lieth in Him. That my salvation is in the Lord. It's not in the house of God, but my salvation is in Him. And I'm glad I can know and have knowledge and wisdom and understanding that my Redeemer is a personal Redeemer with me. And I can know rest, and I can have the truth of the Word of God revealed in my heart, and then one day there's rewards waiting for each of us. And all that is because that we have treasures in Him. Now the treasures of darkness, as we noted last week, are those treasures that are hidden to the world but are made known to the child of God. They're darkness to the world because the world is in darkness. They have not the light of God. They have not the blessings of God. They don't know what the light of life is. They're in darkness, but yet these are treasures that are hidden to them. But thank God they're revealed to us because we walk in the light as He is in the light. As He is the light, we walk in Him. God has, in His infinite mercy and understanding and wisdom, has given to the child of God He has given to us three homes. He had, first of all, we have a family home here upon this line. We have a home that we call our family, and God has instituted that and did institute the home out there in the book of Genesis and have made Adam and Eve come together for the purpose of giving forth children and bringing children and to have a home life in this world. And God desires that we have the right kind of a home life, that the Lord Jesus Christ is high and lifted up even in that home. But I'm glad not only do we have an earthly home, but we have a future home. We have that home that's in heaven, the glories of heaven. But I want us to think today about the fellowship home that we have in this world. And that's the believer's fellowship that we have in the house of God. You noted here what we read, that the Scripture tells us that David said to Solomon, he said, "You do that. Don't be dismayed. Don't go one way or the other. Don't forsake the things of God until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." And just as that was an Old Testament temple, I'm glad, thank God, He has given us a New Testament church. And we have the service of the house of God today, and we're here this morning to serve and to worship and to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 17, it says, judgment must begin at the house of God. We must first of all find a judgment and find our place in God's house and in God's place where that we can honor Him and adore Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth. I believe it's the divine will of God that every person that's born again, I believe it's the will of God that they follow the Lord in believers' baptism and unite themselves with a place that can call the house of God, that propagates the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that tells the story to a world that Jesus saves. Jesus saved. Give the winds a mighty voice that Jesus saves to those that will call upon Him. And I believe it's the will of God for every believer, every Christian, to come in fellowship together with God's people to worship Him in spirit and in truth, because it was a very important thing with the Lord. He says, I've died, I've given myself for the church. And we find that the Lord has done this, and this is our fellowship home of believers. Now, we have treasures in this house. There are things here that you cannot get anywhere else. There are treasures in the house of God that you're not going to get down here at Ponderosa. There's treasures in the house of God that you're not going to get at your job. There's treasures in the house of God that you're not going to get even in your own home. There's differences in the place that God has for our family fellowship and where we come together for the fellowship of believers. And this morning, I want us to notice some of the things that God has given to us. We notice that the Word of God enlightens us. We that are Christians, we that are born again, we have enlightenment because of the things of God, because of the Word of God, and a church that will stand upon what thus saith the Lord. Now, by the way, everything that's got written up over its door, church, doesn't necessarily mean that it is a church. There are some things, there are some prerequisites, there are some qualifications that must be adhered to and met before a place can be called and classified as the church of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the right kind of church, you're going to receive enlightenment from the Word of God. You're going to receive encouragement from the family of God. You're going to receive that which you need in your personal everyday life, being encouraged in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, thank God, I'm glad you can come and you can have some enthusiasm to serve the Lord in the right spirit and right attitude, and just rejoice and have a good time in the Lord's house. I'm glad this morning that some people said glory to God. They raised the hand and rejoicing in the Lord. There is the enthusiasm that we have when we come to the house of God and know that God's real and God's on the throne. I'm glad I don't serve a dead God. I'm glad I serve a God that's real, a God that's alive, a God that's true. And every once in a while, He moves on my soul. And I enjoy when God comes and nudges my old cold heart and makes me realize that I'm here because of the grace of the God of heaven. And I have liberty. I have life this morning. I have joy in my soul and the bells ring in my heart because I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to that future home that we'll be talking about at one of these Sundays. That future home of heaven, the treasures that we have there. But let's get down here to earth today, to the family of God, to the place where we come together as a unit, as a called out assembly to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in righteousness and according to the truth of the Word of God. Before the Lord ever gave a building, before He ever gave a temple, He gave them a pattern and a plan to go by. He did that also in the New Testament. You'll find that David said there, where we read, that David gave Solomon, his son, the pattern. And then later it says he gave him the plan. And David said there in verse number 20 that he said, or in verse number 19, all this said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me. I'm glad God's hand can be upon us. And if his hand is upon us, all the enemies of hell cannot defeat you. If God's hand is upon you as a child of God, as a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, the enemies may buffet you. The hell hounds of hell may be upon your soul, but he's not going to defeat you. Amen. Thank God we have liberty. We have treasures in him, in that we have been born again afresh and anew by the Spirit of God, and we have a structure that is given for the worship and the honor of God. I tell you what, this place is not like any other place on the face of the earth. Amen. The house of God ought to be a place where we reverence. Amen. David gave to Israel, and he gave one of the greatest testimonies and one of the greatest prayers that's ever been given in the Word of God in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. No, I will not take time this morning to read that, because I want to get to the very heart of the message this morning. But David gave a prayer, and he told them that he ought to praise God. He told them that they had a pattern, a plan that God had given for them. And folks, if we get out of the plan that God has for us, we're out of the will of God, and God cannot bless us as he wants to bless us. And I believe everything in our life ought to be centered around the house of God. Amen. God hadn't given you anything else to do. God's given you the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God doesn't tell you to go join up with anything else. Only thing you can find in the Word of God that you're to get a part of and be a part of is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, bar none. That's the only thing that you can find. And so when we find that, we'll just get where God wants us to get and forget about what men might say, forget about what we might think, just get where God can use us, where God can bless us, where God can honor us, and do away with our little frivolous things of what we think, and say, this is where God wants me. I'm going to serve Him no matter what. I know some people that drive multitudes of miles just to get in a house of God that's right with the Lord. I know folks that do all they can do to get where they can get their souls fed from the Word of God. I'm telling you, there's not a whole lot of places in this world that you can come and the Word of God's preached and your soul can be fed, and you can go out of here and feel better the way than you did when you come in. A lot of times I've felt worse after I left than I did when I got there. Now sometimes that's the Lord making you feel that way, but sometimes it's not. Now, when the Lord makes you feel that way, you better not leave feeling worse than you came. You better get it right. That's what the altars are for. That's what the invitation's for. That's what everything's for. To get ourselves in the place where we can serve God and honor God and be what we ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we find that there's a structure for the Lord. Nothing happened just haphazardly. God's not a haphazard God. My God is a God of order. My God is a God that has order about Himself. And in the book of Genesis, you'll find that in the beginning, it was the evening and the morning and the first day, the evening, the morning, the second day. And God had an order and a plan about every day what was going to happen. And I believe God has an order and has a plan for everything that comes in our life. We noted Wednesday night that all things work together for good to them that are the called, to them that love God, who are the called according to the purpose of God. Those things come in our life that He might show us the pattern and the purpose and the plan that God has for me. And God has for you and for you and for you. God has a pattern in your life, for your life. If you'll just let Him deal and work in you, you'll find that. But nothing just happens. There's planning, there's preparation, and then there's completion. I'm glad to thank God one day He planned my redemption, and Jesus came forth to purchase my redemption, and one day I'll be complete in Him. It's all because of Him. He planned it. The Lord Jesus Christ purchased this, and one day I'm going to possess what He's planned for me. Thank God we have that, and that's a prized possession of the child of God, that we are a believer in Him, and He's given us in our walk of life, He's given us what we call the church to keep us right. You find somebody that's wrong on the church, they're wrong on a lot of other things. When they're wrong on the church, they're usually wrong on last things. They're usually wrong on prophecy. Well, they're wrong on the house of God, what the church is. They're wrong about baptism. They're wrong about the Lord's Supper. They're wrong. That is a central figure. That's a central topic in the New Testament for the child of God, because, folks, we are living in the church age. We're not living just in the age of grace. Every dispensation of the Lord has been an age of grace. Man in Genesis got saved just like man in Revelation will. Man gets saved the same way. And that crowd that runs around today that says there's this way of salvation here under the law, and there's another plan of salvation under grace, and then in the tribulation there'll be another plan of salvation. They just don't know this book. They don't know what the Word of God says. Salvation is by grace alone, from the beginning to the end, all the way through, by grace through faith in Him. A person gets saved, and if they're going to heaven, that's the only way they're going, by the grace of God. Nothing has ever been like the church of God Nothing has ever been like it before. Nothing has ever been like it, and there will be like it any other time. This is an organism. It's not just an organization, but the church is an organism. It's alive. It's growing. It's vibrant. It has a will. It goes forth like a mighty army into this world in which we're living. And so, folks, we have treasures in the house of God. We have treasures this morning that many times are unbeknownst to us. There are things that we forget about. David gave to Solomon, as we said, a pattern. David gave to him the pattern of how that the house of God and the temple of God was to be built. David desired to do that. God wouldn't let him do that because David was a man of war. David was a man of heartache. David was a man that had troubles in his family. And God took Solomon. And by the way, I want to say this. Now, we all know the sin of David. We all know his terrible sin that he did with Bathsheba and how that child died. But you know who Solomon's mother was? Well, I'm glad to thank God can use and reuse and take us and make us what we ought to be. Solomon's mother was none other than Bathsheba. And Solomon was a man that God had placed in the position that he was going to build the house of God, that he was going to build the temple of the Lord. David had the pattern. David had the plan. All those things, he says, God has written them upon my heart. He said, now, Solomon, don't you turn the right hand. Don't you turn the left. Solomon, you go forth. And you don't depart from that. You do what I tell you to do because God has given me the plan. Folks, God has given us the plan this morning that we build and serve and go into a world that's dying without God, a world that's going to hell. God's given us a plan and a purpose that we tell the world, Jesus says. And we better not depart from that. We better not go to the right hand or the left hand. Because when you go out of the will of God and out of the way that God's given you, there's somebody going to suffer other than you. If we lose our vision of people dying, if we lose our foresight of folks going to hell, we're going to suffer, but they're going to go ahead and go to hell. We've got to have a vision. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. We perish, but the hard part and the sad part of it is that there's a multitude of folks that's living today that's going to die without God because somebody lost their vision. Because some church lost their vision of what they ought to do. The church today is classified as a building, but it's not just a building. This building is not the church. This is a place where we come together. Now, if there's one thing, so help me, don't get me wrong, but if there's one thing that the Church of Christ, the Camelites, have right, they've got it right when they talk about the church building. They say the church that meets over here and the church that meets there. This building is not the church. You and I, we're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've covenanted together. We've come together to serve the Lord. And when we depart from here, we ought to be an army that goes forth telling the world that Jesus saves and that they're going to die without God if they don't repent of their sin. But this building here is not a church. It's a building of mortar. It's a building of wood. It's a building of stone. It's a building of concrete. But the building does not make the church. The people is what makes the church. The people that come together is the church of the Lord. But the Bible talks of the church as a building. The Bible talks of the church as the bride. The Bible talks of the church as a body. So these three aspects of the church of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 21, says, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. To Him be glory in the church. You're not going to give glory to the Lord doing something else on the Lord's day other than serving Him. To Him be glory where? Out there on the golf course? No. To Him be glory where? Out there on the lake fishing? No. To Him be glory where? Anywhere else? No. To Him be glory in the church. Through Christ Jesus. And how long is that going to be? Ever how long you want to think the world without end. And then He just puts a last amen on it and says, I agree to that. So we find that the church is where God gets His glory. Not only that, it's where you're going to get your glory. To Him. Speaking of the Lord, to Him. Speaking of us, to Him be glory. If you're going to do anything for the Lord, you better get hooked up. You better get right. You better get in the place where God can use you. These sheep sheds and all that stuff that's foreign to the Word of God, they're not churches. Boy, a church is a place where you covenant together. You follow the Lord and you get born again. You get saved by the grace of God. You follow Him in believer's baptism. You follow Him in the ways of life. And you covenant together under a plan that we're going to serve God together as a family of God here in this location. So we find that the church is very important. And there are some sure treasures of God's house. There are some things that are real in the house of God. Look in verse number 3 and 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. First Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 3. It says, "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." Notice here, "because I have set my affection to the house of my God." Our affections ought to be upon the house of God. Our place of service ought to be a place where we are affectionate. And now the treasures of the house of God during David's day were gold and silver and precious stone. And David said, "I've given over and above of what I had planned." David said, "These are the treasures of God's house." But today the treasures are different. We have the message of God. We have the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And thank God we have the memories of saints that have gone on to be with the Lord. That's a part of the blessings of the treasures of God's house today. We have the message of the Word of God that goes forth. We have the Word of God. I want you to think about the Word of God just for a moment. In Psalm number 19 and verse number 10. In Psalm number 19, verse number 10, it says, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and honeycomb." What is that? It says, "The judgments of the Lord." What is that? It's the Word of God. They are to be desired more than anything else that you can imagine. Anything that you have in your home, anything you have today that is in your life, nothing ought to be able to take the place of the Word of God. There's the worth of the Word of God. There's the message of God's Word. There's the message of knowing salvation. Psalm 119, verse number 103. Let's turn there for a moment. Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the book of Psalms, longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119, verse number 103. The Scripture says, it says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." What's he talking about there? He's talking about the Word of God. This treasure that we have in the house of God. Do you realize the only reason we have the Word of God this morning is because down through history, down through the ages, there have been a group of people that have loved this book and has preserved it, and they have fought and they have died to keep it pure and to keep it righteous, to keep it holy, to keep the preserved Word of God in our hands. It's simply because it's a treasure of the house of God. Amen. If it hadn't have been for some Bible-believing people down through the ages, we wouldn't have a book this morning. Amen. There hadn't been some folks willing to suffer and die and literally go through a hell upon earth because they believed this book, and they would copy it and they would hide it over in the back of a room, and they'd dig a hole and put it in, when all the time they knew if they were found with a copy of the Word of God that their heads would be severed from their body. But yet they loved the Word of God, and today it is a treasure of this house. Amen. Oh, may the Word of God go forth from this pulpit. Whether I'm here or someone else is here, may this church always be right and get someone to preach the Word of God and not have fear of what men might say. Amen. May we be sure of what we're doing, the worth of the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse number 9, that we ought to hide the Word of God. In verse number 4, it says we ought to heed the Word of God. In verse number 16, we ought to honor the Word of God. In verse number 114, we ought to have hope in the Word of God. In verse 162, we ought to have happiness because of the Word of God. All of these are treasures of the house of God that we're in today, because this blessed old book is proclaimed here. Not everything that calls itself, just like a church, not everything that calls itself a Bible is a Bible. Brother, I don't have any fear of telling people what I believe. I believe this book right here is the preserved Word of God. Amen. Don't have to have anything else. Don't need anything else. Don't need any version, perversion, or diversion. We need the Word of God. And we've got it in our language. If this blessed old book is so far out of date, I wonder why things haven't got better since they've updated it. If this book here is no good, then I wonder why things haven't happened since the RSV. 1940-something, they revised it. Then from that day on, we've had just a bombardment of things that's called the Word of God. I heard someone say the other day, I was in a bookstore. I was buying a Bible for somebody. They said, "Wonder what kind they want." Boy, I wanted to speak up so bad. I just sat back and listened. And I listened to that young couple talk. They was buying it for their grandmother, or his grandmother, one of them. And she said, "Well, I know what she used to use." And I knew then they were getting on the right track. You know why? Because it's good enough for them. And you know what? It's good enough for us today, too. And the store owner said, "Well, why don't you give them this NIV, New International Version?" And I said, "Ooh, boy, devil doesn't come in." I literally, I stood there and I prayed for that couple to get the right one. You know why? Because it's important you have the Word of God. It's important that you've got the printed Word and not be all mingled and messed up with men's versions and ideas. But we have the Word of God today that will save a wretched soul from sin and take them to a God of heaven. And they said, no. So we know what she uses. And said, we're going to get a King James. And they went out. I said, why don't y'all read that as you go? And they said, well, we're confused. We don't know which one's which. I said, read that and that'll take care of us. Well, folks, we need to tell people. This is a treasure of the house of God. And I'll be honest with you, and I don't say this because I'm pastor of Grace Baptist Church, but folks, there's not a whole lot of churches that hold a mind on the Word of God anymore. Well, I don't care what kind of tag you put on them. I don't care what kind of Baptist tag you put on. There's not a whole lot of Baptist churches that hold the line on what is the Word of God. And I'm glad, thank God, as long as I'm here, I know what we've got. And I think it's in you enough that if I leave, I still think I know what kind of preacher you'll get. Oh, folks, we've got to keep this treasure that is a treasure. We better not lose the treasure. It's a treasure of darkness to the world, but thank God it's light to us. Not only do we have the Word of God, the Word in which we look, and it delights the saints. Thank God it saves us and takes us to glory. I wrote down some things about the Word of God. A servant is directed by the Word. The saved are delighted by the Word. Satan, thank God, one day will be destroyed by the Word. And the sinner is doomed by the Word. Oh, today we need to know what is the Word of God. Then I want you to notice the work that God's given us. Not only the Word in which we look, but the work in which we labor. A work of labor and a labor of love. I'm glad that the house of God, the treasure, one of the treasures that we have is that we can come together and we can work together. And we can serve God together. And we can go out and knock doors together. And if need be, we can raise a building together in just a few weeks and a few months. We can do those things. It's a labor and a work of God, a labor of love that we have. And that's a treasure. There's a lot of churches, they can't even come together and have a business meeting, much less come together and do anything else. Well, an old church, every time they come together, they fuss, fight, and feud. Somebody said they had to have two vehicles, so when the ladies and children got tired, the men would go ahead and stay there and fuss it out. Boy, I'd hate to be in that. That's not the house of God. That's not where God is. Well, the house of God is a work. It's a place where we can serve the Lord. And the great treasure that we have. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4:7, it says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Well, we've been given the measure of the gift of God that we can work together. God's never given His work to anybody else except to a redeemed church. That's why I believe in a redeemed church. That's why Baptists have never believed, never practiced sprinkling as a baby. We believe in a redeemed church. We believe in people who have to get to the right age where they can hear the gospel and know the lost and come to Jesus Christ for salvation. You're not baptized into it. You're not sprinkled into it. But thank God you're birthed into the family of God, and you're placed in the house of God, and that's the treasure of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, we're not adopted into it either. I don't care what Uncle Charlie says. We are born into the family of God. The work of the Lord is a treasure that we have. And then the last treasure that I want us to think of this morning is the workers in whom we love. We have the Word of God in which we look, the work in which we labor, and then the workers of whom we love. Now, folks, I believe it's very important that we love one another.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter what anybody else says. If you don't have love one toward another, you're out of the will of God.
Amen.
The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2:19 that we are fellow citizens. In Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 6 that we are fellow heirs. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 23 that we are fellow helpers. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 2 that we are fellow laborers or fellow workers. And it's hard to work with somebody in whom you don't love. You know what you're going to do? One's going to pull one direction. Just because they're going that direction, you're going to be stubborn and go the other direction. But when you have the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that's abundant and abiding in your heart, thank God you can pull the same direction.
Amen.
And that's what the house of God is all about. We find that we fail to realize, if you don't get anything else, you get this. We fail to realize the wealth that we have in each other. We fail to realize what real treasures that we have in friendships of people in the house of God.
Amen.
If you don't think it's a wealth and a treasure, then you try paddling your boat by yourself.
Amen.
If you don't think it's a real treasure to have Christian friends, just get out there without them and see what it's like. One of the great treasures that we have in the house of God is fellow laborers. We have the Word of God. I don't have to preach to you and tell you what the Word of God is. You know that. We have a work that's before us. And I don't have to tell you that we have a work. And we have workers. We have laborers together. The Bible says that we are fellow heirs. Well, the Scripture says we're going to be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. Some people are going to have a complete overhaul before they get to heaven. Because they don't like anything, anybody. And they call themselves Christians. The Lord may, they may be the dead in Christ. The Lord may have to get them up a little quicker than everybody else. I don't know. But there's some people that just despise everything. But we're fellow laborers together.
Amen.
I rejoice when I hear somebody down here at another church, whether it be Maranatha or Island Fort or those other churches. I rejoice when I hear somebody get saved there. You know why? We're laborers together.
Amen.
I rejoice when I hear someone that's having the services of God and God's blessing them.
Amen.
Because we're fellow laborers together. We're workers. We're co-laborers. I rejoice when we find the understanding and the treasures of knowing Jesus Christ. We fail to realize the wealth of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Their presence when we need someone. Their prayers when we stumble. And their personal concern when we suffer. That's the treasures that we have in each other. I'm glad if I need someone, I can call someone. I'm glad I don't have to go out here in the wilderness by myself. If I've got a problem, I'm glad I can call somebody and talk to them. I'm glad I got preacher brothers that I can talk to. I'm glad I got folks in this church I can talk to. I don't believe there's anybody in this church I couldn't talk to. And I'm glad we have that relationship and that fellowship together. And I'm glad for that. That's a wealth that we have right here in this church. It's a treasure that we overlook of each other. Of being fellow laborers together. When we stumble, when we suffer, when we fall, thank God there's somebody there to help us. And then we have the memories of those that have gone on to be with the Lord. The memories of those that have held the line down through the years. And they're gone. That's a treasure. A treasure to know folks that love God and serve God and did all they could do that you'd be saved. There's folks in here this morning, you'd never been saved if somebody hadn't cared and Grace Baptist Church came into existence. I don't care what kind of fellowship you have with those folks now, but thank God somebody cared. And somebody loved you and had compassion. That's the memories. The treasures of the world is nothing more than the gold. And I'm glad the treasures of the saints is the will of God. The treasures of the world is the wealth of the gold. But I have treasures that's far greater than that. I have the will of God. All these things are treasures of darkness. Thank God they're in God's treasure chest. I wish I had a treasure chest. Man, I wish I had it. Somebody go find me one. You have Christ. He is God's treasure chest. Last Sunday we opened up and we found that in Him we have redemption. In Him we have the revealed truth of the Word of God. And then because of Him, thank God we have the treasures of the house of the Lord. As I said when we first started, I believe every person, every Christian, ought to be a member of a place that serves God. I believe that. You ought to get in line and just do what God says. And therefore, now we have treasures in the house of God. Are you a part of that treasure? First of all, you have to be saved. born again. That's the first and foremost thing in anyone's life. The treasures in Him, and then treasures in the house of God. Let's stand this morning.